This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It is indeed World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, but one country at a time. We are Joy's international news and current affairs show, and tonight, Dean, Damien, and myself, Matt, we are exploring gay life in the South American mountains of Peru. How is this ancient culture that dates back to 9000 BC progressing on LGBT rights? When religion and macho cultures collide, what effect does that have on the local LGBT community? And you might be surprised at who is driving homophobic bullying in Peruvian schools.
To understand gay life in Peru, tonight we speak with Lottie from the Institute of Studies in Health, Sexuality and Human Development in Lima, Peru.
And here's a taste of what's coming ahead.
When you ask people if they believe they're machos or they believe there's machismo in the country, they actually say no. But when you ask them questions like, okay, should a woman make less money because she has to take care of children, then they say yes. So we're trying to make people see that this is a problem so that they can actually do something about it.
Hi everyone, my name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to World Wide Wave on Joy, and lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
It's a show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. We post news stories throughout the week and to keep you up to date with LGBT news around the globe, which is where we're heading right now with our worldwide wrap. Well, let's kick off in the UK, where 1 in 10 gay people, a survey has found, face discrimination, wait for it, when arranging a funeral. There's a recent survey revealed that 10% of LGBT people in arranging a funeral for their loved one are facing discrimination. And Stonewall has come out and said that it's particularly affecting the older gay and lesbian people who grew up in a time when they were discriminated against and persecuted simply because who they are. And therefore, they're hardly surprised that they're feeling this right now.
I remember back in the 80s, well, actually, more 90s for me, but I remember that everyone in the 80s used to say that you could tell who the people who were closest to a gay man at his funeral, because they were the ones stashed right round the back in dark glasses, whereas like the family would be right round the front, but all the people that supported them and were their loved ones would be allowed to sit in the back rows during the funeral. So fortunately, things have moved on a bit, and I think it's a bit more progressive now in Australia.
And it seems to be this discrimination is related a bit to perhaps it's confidence. People in a civil partnership believe they had more rights and suffered less discrimination.
Funny, yeah. That. Well, in the US, President Obama has made a welcome address by video at the 9th annual Gay Games in Cleveland, Ohio. Thousands headed for Cleveland, Ohio for the opening ceremony, and in the address, Barack Obama said, "I know some of you have come from a place where it requires courage, even defiance, to come out, sometimes at great personal risk, and you should know that the United States stands with you for your human rights."
And a big shout out to all the sports people from Team Melbourne. There's quite a decent sized crew on across there, and I've been seeing on social media some medals, people flashing around medals, which is a bit exciting. Now, still in America and across to Delaware, where a high school has stopped all summer reading. Now, that sounds good. I'm sure there's cheers from the kids.
I can't imagine the kids being devastated about that.
No, but they've stopped it because the reading list featured a lesbian character as the main character in a book.
Shocking.
It's the coming-of-age novel. It's a young girl realising that she is a lesbian. And the school board has come out and said, well, there will be no more reading of books.
Well, they said the book was removed because there was no process to evaluate it following complaints.
The Ugandan president is meeting with his caucus to discuss the nullification of the anti-homosexuality bill, the anti-gay propaganda bill that they have had in Uganda that was knocked back or overturned by the High Court.
Oh, President Museveni, just let it go.
You know, he's brought the cabinet together. He wants to find out a way to reinstate it.
Haven't you got anything better to do?
Clearly not. Poverty, no, not sexy enough. Crime, no, not sexy enough.
Where are the Ugandan libertarians bitching and moaning about this waste of taxpayers' time and money?
Well, there are people celebrating in Uganda, and here's a cheer, because a pride parade has been held again in Uganda 1 week after the court struck down this highly controversial anti-gay law.
Now, admittedly, many wore masks as they did not want to be identified, but can you blame them?
They have made a stance. They have made a very public demonstration of their support for both their community and for the change in the law that was struck down by the High Court.
And well done. Good on them too. Because, it's a bit like when we talked to Slovakia a few weeks ago, and the instructions for their gay pride parade were how to avoid tear gas canisters and appropriate footwear in order to run away from the police.
We are pretty lucky to be here in Australia, aren't we?
Yes. We have a ways to go, but it could be a hell of a lot worse.
Now, in Thailand, where the mayor of a northeastern Thai city has officiated at the wedding of two men, even though Thailand does not legally recognise same-sex couples. And Thailand is quite a conservative community, so this is a bit of a step forward to have the head of one of the regions coming out and presenting undertaking a marriage.
Well, they're not very PC yet, because as he gave the couple a traditional Thai blessing, the mayor joked that he was very nervous at first because he didn't know which person should be addressed as the bride or the groom. But, hey, he said, "Your wedding is a brave action and you are brave for expressing yourself to society. It is a good example for other gay couples."
And sounds like you were brave getting him to officiate.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, all sincerity, we hope many, many years of happiness for the lovely couple.
And to Uruguay now. Uruguay is celebrating its first legal same-sex marriage anniversary. It's been 12 months, and in that time, over 200 couples have married in Uruguay. And you know what? The skies didn't cave in. There weren't bolts of lightning. Things are just going on.
Oh, so Satan hasn't been spotted roaming the earth looking for fresh converts or anything like that?
Perhaps not.
Oh, there you go. Tiny country with a population of 3.3 million people, but the actual society hasn't collapsed and slid into rack and ruin, so there you go.
Now, the next James Bond theme might actually be recorded by a gay boy, Sam Smith.
Yes, and he's at number two in the US charts at the moment with his single Stay With Me. So he's doing extremely well, and he would fit into the tradition of an English singer who Americans actually recognise for their theme song.
Wow, the last British guy, so he's a British guy, to record a song was Tom Jones in 1965. Clearly they went out of favour. You are on the World Wide Wave, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Stick with us, we are off to Peru.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Fun fast fact time. We are indeed in Peru tonight exploring all things LGBT. Same-sex sexual activity among consenting adults is, in fact, legal.
Yes, in this country of approximately 30 million people. An exception was previously made for all military and police personnel who could be punished with between 60 days to 20 years imprisonment or discharge from the forces.
So you could be gay in real life, but when you put the uniform on, you're
well, that's
at
no
risk.
Fun, is it?
They did actually repeal that, though, to
they
be fair.
Did in 2009. So, gentlemen, put your uniforms back on.
Homosexuality can also be used as a ground for separation or divorce. Mm. It's a highly Catholic country.
Which is the main reason why laws meant to protect public morals are often used against lesbians and gays.
Ah, the back door.
Yeah, society's attitude towards homosexuals is generally hostile and is heavily influenced by, once again, the Catholic Church.
There's not many out people either, so celebrities. In fact, one of the people we're going to be talking about tonight is a congressman who came out. He's quite a popular politician, and he has come out as a part of the civil union bill, and he's one of the very few out gay you know, high-profile Peruvians there, and there's no anti-discrimination laws based on sexuality.
This is the thing. Peru is a physically extremely beautiful country. However, it is unfortunately the least gay-friendly country in Latin America, according to a 2013 survey by queer tourism company Spartacus. It ranked 108th out of 138 countries around the world, sharing a position with such enlightened establishments as Turkey, Zambia, and Uganda.
Once again, the dreaded
U-word pops up again. Far below other South American countries like Mexico and Brazil, which was at number 22. So Uruguay, ranking at number 9, was named the most tolerant country in the region, just in case you're planning your South American adventure.
Now, one of the things Peru does have in common with Brazil, sadly, is the
hate crimes.
So Brazil is actually the worst place in the world most likely to be murdered for being gay in Brazil. But Peru, such a small country, and they're getting between 11 and 17 murders of gay people, gay-related murders, a year.
And that figure is significant in a country where the murder rate for 2012 was 10.5 per 100,000 inhabitants, according to the United Nations. So let's move on to the topic at hand, recognition of same-sex unions. Where are we at, Matt?
So they have tried a couple of times to put up laws. It hasn't got in there. Two politicians who went to the last election in 2011 supporting civil unions for same-sex couples.
Guess who won?
Both got ousted. Not so great. But then, knight in shining armour, legislator Carlos Bruce, he put forward to Parliament a petition signed by 10,000 people in favour of civil unions. And in the same process, he outed himself, came out and has put forward the bill. It's still, what would you say, still in committee, perhaps? It's still being juggled around.
It hasn't made it to the floor yet. It's not exactly circling the drain, but it's ticking away, and hopefully we will be at a stage where it's successful.
Yeah. But interesting stuff, because they did a poll. There's always polls. They did a poll when they asked Peruvians, you know, do you approve of same-sex marriage? Only 21% said yes.
Mostly younger people.
But then they asked something different. They asked Peruvians about individual things that same-sex people, you know, do they have the right to make critical health decisions about their partner? Should they have that right? All of a sudden, the numbers went up to 52%. Should same-sex couples have the right to inherit property and assets? 49%. Interestingly, all these things that they were testing on are part of the civil unions bill.
So it's more the terminology that seems to be the sticking point.
It's the sell. We are going to explore that more with our guest tonight, Lottie from the Institute of Health, Sexuality and Human Development from Lima in Peru. But we've got some Ricky Martin news into the show. How did Ricky Martin get involved in Peru?
Well, this kind of happened a while ago, but basically Miss Peru, a couple of years ago, gave an interview with a Spanish language media company, and Cidi Magia, the lovely Miss Peru, had some very controversial things to say about gay children and if she would have an issue if her own child was gay. And Ricky Martin, it was a smackdown. Miss Peru said, in my case, the day that God permits me to have children, it wouldn't happen, because these things happen perhaps because a child grew up without a father or was molested or lived with his mother and sisters and became effeminate. Anyway,
whatever happened to the Miss people just saying they want world peace?
Well, she tried to branch out and it didn't work out very well, because Ricky Martin quickly reacted via Twitter and he said, what a shame, such foolish comments, complete ignorance. So initially,
now, if you had a cat fight between Miss Peru and Ricky Martin, who would you back?
Well, I think I haven't actually really seen Miss Peru. I'm assuming she's got, you know, very strong haunches and stuff because of all the high heels
Big
they have
high
to
heels.
Strut around in and stuff. I think it's a tough one. However, Ricky's really got the edge, because she fell back on the whole, I was misquoted. So the website published their audio, which showed that she was made of lies. And
my Twitter following's bigger than your Twitter following.
And that's exactly what happened. And she then apologised and said that she would promise to fight homophobia.
Hello, Australia. This is Gabrielle from Luxembourg. From the other side of the world, we share in your fight for same-sex marriage. Good luck to everyone at Joy 94.9.
Oh, isn't that so sweet?
In fact, they've beaten us to the punch on same-sex marriage. Good on you, Luxembourg.
If we don't hurry up, Uganda's going to beat us to the punch.
You might honestly be right.
If you enjoy listening to our international news here on World Wide Wave, why not subscribe?
Become a member.
We've got family, full concession. Under 18 is only $22 for you youngsters out there. Business is $165 and maybe tax deductible.
It is the gayest station in the nation, and all you need to do is go to joy.org.au and click on the membership link, and you can become a member. You can become part of our Joy family.
We'd love to have you.
Now, this is the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we've been inspecting Peru for their LGBT rights and issues. And we had the chance to speak with Lottie. Lottie is from the Institute of Studies in Health, Sexuality and Human Development in Lima. And we started by asking her about some recent work they've been doing in the area of homophobic bullying in schools. Tell us a bit about the homophobic bullying. How do you raise that as an issue? How do you help to assist with that?
Well, it was not an issue till around 2 years ago, where we had our first bullying study with the help of the UN Population Fund. And what we found out is that we're having a terrible problem with teachers actually doing the bullying. So we might have some students doing the bullying, but what is affecting the teenagers is that their teachers are telling them that they're immoral and they should just leave because they're not worth their time. So they're actually leaving school and having like terrible thoughts because the teacher is attacking them. And sometimes it's even the principal of the school that's the one that's doing all the bullying to the students. It's not the other students.
So if the teacher got this position of power, how do you try to combat that?
What we have done is done a lot of lobbying with the education ministry. And 3 months ago, they opened their project where all the students can complain, especially in the national schools, government-run schools, which are the ones that have the biggest teacher bullying problems. And now they can actually complain online. Doesn't matter where in the country they're from. And the ministry promises to deal with the problem in the next 2 months, which is not perfect, but they've already had, in the first month they opened it, they had over 2,000 complaints about teachers, and I think they resolved like 40% of them. So, I know it's going forward.
Now, you've also got a discussion program going to raise issues, to advocate for change. Can you tell us a bit about that?
What we do is we host people from all walks of life. So we have artists, we have scientists, we have students, we have people who care about their rights, meeting every week. And then they decide on a topic that they think it's important for the society and that nobody is touching. So last year what they did was gender-based violence. And what they do is they design an intervention. So they met, they did an intervention in main plazas of some of the main cities in Peru. And they showed us how everything the media shows, everything people buy, everything people listen, is actually promoting this violence. And that when you ask people if they believe they're machos or they believe there's machismo in the country, they actually say no, but when you ask them questions like, okay, should a woman make less money because she has to take care of children, then they say yes. So we're trying to make people see that this is a problem so that they can actually do something about it.
How does that play out for a gay or lesbian person? How do they handle the machismo culture?
Well, people in Peru are largely homophobic. We're actually, this last few months, we are trying to pass the civil union law so that it's legal for gay and lesbians and same-sex couples to have a civil union. And we have a lot of church people going against it and saying that it's immoral. And most of these people are the same people that are advocating for the gender-based violence, and they're actually getting paid by the state to do so, which is really bad because Catholic Church is getting money from the state and they're actually promoting and lobbying against this. And fortunately, people are starting to listen and starting to care. So there's been a lot of demonstrations brought the union and they're trying to make a change, but it's still its ongoing and nothing has been done yet.
That is the voice of Lottie from the Institute of Studies in Health, Sexuality and Human Development in Lima. Yes, the civil union bill is causing quite the outcry. As we mentioned before, very Christian-dominated. About 98% of the population is Christian, and of that, about 80% is Catholic. Well, the Catholic leaders have come out fighting. In fact, so the politician that brought this forward, Carlos Bruce, he's quite a popular politician, but he is now up against... It's a bit of a fight theme going on tonight, really, isn't there?
Yeah.
You can see them in the boxing ring.
Conflict
he's,
and,
he's
know,
up against
drama.
Cardinal Juan Luis Capriana, who is the leader of Peru's Catholic Church, who has said, "It doesn't seem to me that we have named the congressman in order to justify their own sexual preferences." In other words, he feels that he's using this case to justify his sexuality, is what the priest is trying to say.
Yeah, I think he's put the cart before the horse there. So, and I find it interesting that he uses the term preference as opposed to orientation.
Would you expect anything other than that?
No, that is fair enough, yes. So
it's, the congressman did respond reservedly, I guess, saying that, "I regret that the cardinal is bringing up personal matters. I will not answer such vileness."
Well, what we were saying earlier about SmackDown, so...
Do you do the same thing? Who would you back in the fight? Well, nobody knows who these people
are. Well, I'm
so.
Definitely going to back Carlos Bruce, I think, so... For sure, in this particular case.
He has a lot of support. So there was a march in Lima in support of the legislation for civil unions. This is a couple of months back, and it generated a lot of support, thousands of people marching in the streets, which is a little bit unusual for a conservative culture such as Peru.
Well, it's interesting what Lottie was saying about the machismo of the actual culture as well, and how that seems to be one of the real problems that they're having with the homophobic bullying, which is mostly caused by teachers.
Isn't that interesting that both that it is the teachers and sometimes the principals that are driving it?
I think it explains a lot when we were talking earlier about how younger people, you know, much maligned Generation Y and Generation X, don't really have as much of an issue with LGBTI people, whereas older generations do. So it doesn't really surprise me in some ways that the teachers and the principals would be of a generation where they can use, you know, LGBTI youth as scapegoats.
It doesn't surprise me, but to use a position of power and to call somebody immoral, to judge somebody, a younger person, highly impressionable, peer pressure, all those sorts of things, gee, that's not good form. And I do like Lottie's optimism that the two-month response time was actually pretty good. It's a step forward.
And that they've had about 2,000 complaints in such a short time. It says a lot in a moralistic society where everyone can pass judgment on everyone else for not being good enough. I'm not really surprised that people in positions of authority feel that that's part of their role and that they're entitled to deride LGBTI people that way.
But again, there's some really good things happening. The interventions they were talking about in plazas, real grassroots action. So big support for the petition, working in plazas to break down some of the barriers around homophobia. So some very good supportive grassroots movements going on in Peru. We are going to explore this and more.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
Tonight we're in Peru and we are speaking with Lottie from the Institute of Studies in Health, Sexuality and Human Development. And we wanted to ask, or we started by asking Lottie a bit about her organisation and what they do.
Our organisation is based in Lima, Peru. We are an organisation that works the whole area of the scientific studies in sexuality and LGBT rights, and the other half works advocacy in these same topics. In regards of scientific findings, what we do is we're working a lot about STI and PrEP studies, bullying and how it affects the younger population and the LGBTI population, and policy work, how we can improve policy work in our country and in South America.
What part does religion play in Peruvian culture? Is it a dominant force?
Yes, Peru is a very religious country. I think our last census said it's, I think it's like 97-98% are mostly Roman Catholic, but some are evangelic religion. And, well, everyone goes to church, or at least, you know, maybe you don't go every week, but you're raised by the church. Even if you go to a non-religious school, you have to take religion. Only you only take it once a week instead of every day.
And does the Catholic Church have political power as well? Do they have the ear of the government?
Yes, they do. They're actually given money. Like, we pay taxes, and taxes go to the Catholic Church. Like, not all of it, but a big part. And they're very powerful in the church. Right, a few months ago, unfortunately, this religious U.S. man, I don't remember his name, but he's anti-gay, ultra-conservative, anti-everything, got a state prize because the cardinal asked the government to give them the prize, and they just gave it to him, even though it goes against everything our constitution says.
Now, you've been doing some very interesting and very colourful work in the area of HIV with T-shirts. Can you tell me a bit about the T-shirts you've been working with and designing?
Of course. This is a project we did last year. It's called Living with HIV. So we gave them a T-shirt that only said HIV, and we encouraged people to give a positive message. So it's HIV equals life. Please smile and love people with HIV. We are not cases. We are not diagnosis. We're not just a virus. I live with HIV and I'm proud of it. And we're getting people to wear them as much as they can. We actually got a couple local artists and local singers to wear them on TV and on their concerts to, like, make people realize that HIV is not something you have to hide, but something you have to deal with and live with.
How much stigma is there in Peruvian society around HIV?
There is quite a lot of stigma. Most people think that just touching you, they will get the disease, and they don't want to. Even in hospitals, they have a lot of problems accessing care.
What do you see as the future being for Peru in terms of sexuality, HIV, and those sorts of things? What do you hope will happen?
Well, we hope that policies become inclusive and that people no longer have to hide. Well, being gay is legal, like abortion is legal. A lot of things about this are legal. Nobody knows they're legal because everyone thinks they're wrong. So it's just people say, no, 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 you cannot do it. It's wrong. We just want people to know that this is an option. And it's a valid option.
Lottie from the Institute of Studies in Health, Sexuality and Human Development in Peru, thanks for joining us on Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
I just love their positivity, the work they're doing with the T-shirts. It's inventive, it's exciting. Again, it's that grassroots thing. They've really gone out there and just getting to the grass, right down to the population to change minds.
Very much a can-do approach.
They've got some support too. The United Nations has launched their Free and Equal campaign. We've actually spoken to the Free and Equal campaign before. You can see or hear, listen to that podcast on our website, joy.org.au/worldwidewave. And they're also holding some LGBT leadership training in Peru. So an organisation called the Victory Institute is coming in to run some local courses aimed at cultivating the next wave of LGBT political leaders. So they come in and they talk, they bring in a whole diverse range of people talking about everything from the electoral system to levels of the government, how politics works and building coalitions and promotion of human rights in the country.
It's very interesting the way she says that at the Catholic Church, a lot of their opposition is about control over money.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, did you know that Melbourne has a link with Peru too?
Besides you going there.
beside me going there. Yes, that's true. Peru had a gay film called Undertow, and it won the best feature film at Melbourne Queer Film Festival 2011. It's actually a really good film. I remember seeing
it. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
We have had fun tonight in investigating Peru and bringing you insights into LGBT life in Peru. A big thank you to Lottie from the Institute of Studies in Health, Sexuality and Human Development in Lima, in the capital of Peru.
And we wish them all the best in their future endeavours. Absolutely. Let's see things improve in Peru.
We've had lots and lots of messages on Facebook throughout the week from Greg, Kayleen, Brett, Gilmar, Alex, Rob, Helen. They've all joined or interacted with us on our Facebook page. Search World Wide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook. Robert.
Robert is at the front counter.
Thanks, Robert.
Yes, thanks,
One
Robert.
Of our behind-the-scenes team that keeps us running here at Joy. Next week, we are off to Mozambique, where our roving reporter, Christine, who's across in Africa, has tracked down some interviews for us, which is fantastic. We'll be back with you, same bat time, same bat channel, next week. This is The World Wide Wave.
Thank you for listening to The World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.